under advisement and move on to the fifth case of this morning, Sprint Spectrum against City of Carmel. Mr. Porterfield?
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Scott Porterfield. I represent the appellant, Sprint Spectrum LP. By this appeal, we're asking that you reverse the order of the district court that dismissed Sprint's complaint for lack of jurisdiction. Today, I want to cover three topics. Number one, I want to explain why there's jurisdiction of the complaint. Number two, I want to explain to you why the Williamson County ripeness standard that was applied by the district court doesn't apply. And thirdly, I want to address the urgings of the defendants and explain to you why the defendants did not apply for a special use permit or subdivision plan approval. First, let me just take on the jurisdictional issue. As Your Honors know, Sprint filed a complaint that stated 9 counts. This appeal really addresses the jurisdictional basis of the first 4 counts in that complaint. Those 4 counts alleged claims under the Telecommunications Act of 1996, commonly referred to as the TCA claims. The jurisdictional underpinning of those 4 counts is found in the TCA Act itself, 47 U.S.C. 332C7B5. That is the operative section that grants us jurisdiction over those 4 counts.
Right. There has to be a final action. I guess my question for you is, why are we required to construe what the city did in the way you did, as opposed to simply the city, through the Board of Zoning, laying out the process that they wanted you to use? You wanted it to be one process. They said, no, it's a different process. You've got to go through this subdivision plat and, you know, all these hearings and everything. But surely, under the discretion Congress left for municipalities under the TCA, cities can decide which set of procedures they think are appropriate to these kinds of things, in which case you haven't been through the procedures yet, and we don't have the finality that the statute looks for.
We respectfully disagree, Your Honor, for the following reasons. Congress, as this Court has noted in the Agutter decision, did leave a great deal of discretion to the cities and the municipalities over zoning. However, the Court specifically noted, both in Agutter and in the recent Voice Stream versus St. Croix County case, that authority is not unfettered. The TCA, Congress set out specific limitations on what municipalities can and cannot do, and that's set forth in the subparagraph B, 332C7B, sets forth then the 4 or 5 specific limitations that are imposed on the municipality's authority. One of those is, of course, that it cannot unreasonably discriminate against providers who provide the same kinds of services.
Right, but just second, to say, I mean, there is the anti-discrimination principle, and there's some others, as you point out, but if you accept what I suggested at first, that this city simply wants you to go through a more elaborate set of procedures than you would like to, on the theory, I think, that the use of this ham radio tower is being substantially altered as it becomes a commercial facility as opposed to what it was before, I mean, we don't know yet if you've been discriminated against or not, because you haven't finished the procedures. For all we know, after you've been through that, the neighbors will testify, and maybe people will come in and complain about bad cell phone service or something, and your application will be granted. So certainly there's this non-discrimination principle, but as you point out, you know, we've said that's got to be understood in light of the local autonomy.
Your Honor, it gets to a point that I think was raised in the Appellee's brief, and I think it kind of addresses the question you're getting to, and if I can get to it. On page 2 of the Appellee's brief, the Appellee suggests that there has been no final decision, and they say in page 2, the application is still in the midst of the approval process. Your Honor, that's not so. We submitted one application for a permit to erect a cellular antenna on the tower, pursuant to the plain reading of Section 5.1 of the zoning ordinance. We believe that under the plain reading of that ordinance, we're entitled to that as a matter of law based on their own ordinance. We obtained the permit, we started construction, we then had it revoked, and we then appealed the revocation to the Board of Zoning Appeals, the BZA. We then had a ruling that was adverse to us. We're now dead in the water. We have no cell tower in place. We cannot begin to erect one because the BZA has affirmed the revocation. We don't have any other application that's out there that's pending.
But what do you do with the fact that they did provide you with a different route, you know, on the map, if you will?
Well, Your Honor, we believe we risk substantial waiver of our argument that we don't have to seek those uses, number one, and we've cited case law in our brief, and number two, Your Honor, we believe, and I know this will be hopefully for somewhere down the road on the merits, we believe that if you look at the literal language of the ordinance, we're not entitled to those special use permits or that a subdivision has occurred. So not only do we believe that we shouldn't have to proceed, we believe we may not be able to proceed.
Wouldn't they be stopped from arguing that at this point? I mean, they've been out there trumpeting that you have all of these procedures available to you. If they turned around and said, oh, you know, we were just kidding, I'm sure you'd be here saying that they were stopped.
I'm sure we would, Your Honor. The risk we had is that once the BZA made its ruling, we had, under the TCA, 30 days to file our action.
Right, which is
a very short period of time, or we risked losing that right of appeal. And I'm sure had we not filed the appeal and gone down these other avenues that the city says we should have gone down and then been denied those special use permits, you can be sure they would have argued we waived our right to challenge the BZA decision because we didn't file the suit within 30 days. So that's why we didn't select that other alternative. We don't believe it was available. We believe it's contrary to the plain face and reading of their own ordinance, and it's contrary to the rapid deployment policy that Congress set forth in implementing the BZA. Institutions confused. And so those are the reasons, Your Honor, that we did not choose those avenues. And as I point out, there is no other application that's floating around at the city level that we're in the midst of the approval process. Our application was granted by permit. We received it. It was revoked. And then the revocation was affirmed. And as both the district court and the city concede, the BZA is the highest authority to determine these issues. There's no other administrative panel at the city that we need to go take this appeal to. We did exhaust that, and therefore we believe we had the right to file this lawsuit.
I suppose the only thing that you might have been able to do is if they referred you to these other procedures would be to have gotten some agreement that the 30-day, that they wouldn't object to your being beyond the 30 days. But then we'd have the jurisdictional problem probably still here.
I think we still would have had a jurisdictional
problem,
because I don't think they could have waived that.
They couldn't have waived that. Okay. That's
right, Your Honor.
All right.
Okay, well, if you'd like to save a little time for rebuttal, we will hear from Ms. Hester.
May it please the Court, Judy Hester, on behalf of the Appellees, the City of Carmel, the Board of Zoning Appeals, and the Director of the Department of Community Services. The District Court properly found that Sprint failed to find a basis for the federal court to exercise its jurisdiction on this local zoning matter, and it did dismiss all 9 counts.
Why isn't, though, a revocation that's been affirmed a final action? I mean, you can always ask for discretionary relief, but the kinds of things you're talking about are not things that you would be required to give Sprint. I mean, there's some appeal to the idea that once you've had something that was revoked and somebody said, yes, we really meant to revoke it, you're finished.
Your Honor, I would say 2 things. One, this is very similar, analogous to the Williams case, where there was also a rescission.
Williams' son, you mean, and that...
Excuse me, Your Honor.
Takings cases are quite different, though, because we have to find out in a takings case whether there's any way at all the government might cough up the money for you, and thus, you know, federal courts in particular are reluctant to intervene in state court proceedings or even possible avenues under state law, whereas in this situation, the Telecommunications Act specifically makes the federal court a forum to which people can go right away. It's really a different adjustment of the federalism concern.
I would suggest, Your Honor, that if we look at what the facts that we have, we're talking about semantics. Because we have, there is that application floating around out there. It's the same application.
But he says there isn't any application, that they're trying to get a determination whether, as of right, without these separate procedures, they're entitled to put their facilities on that tower. How can they do that?
The ordinance, and we have briefed this matter, there were numerous briefs in the underlying court because the matters were not stayed. We filed summary judgment motions, all kinds of different motions. It is not permitted by right because the structure that we have in Carmel on the Zamber property is not a tower.
I understand your legal position is that,
yes.
And I have no problem with the notion that the city should be able to argue that.
Mm-hmm.
Their legal position is obviously not that. Someplace, someday, somebody needs to decide whether you're correct or whether they're correct. And it's the sort of thing, but for the Telecommunications Act, you would think belongs in a state court because it has all to do with what your ordinance says and
exactly.
All these different things. However, we have the Telecommunications Act, so here we are,
yes.
You know, in federal court. And surely there must be some way to resolve whether you're right about it not being a tower because the thing that's on it isn't really an antenna and on and on and on, all these
right.
things that you're saying. Or if they're right, that there it is, it's a tower, we can add one more thing to it, and it's not changing the use substantially. How do you get that nice little issue decided?
What we say, Your Honor, is this, the issue does not dispose of, the words used by the court, it does not fully dispose of their attempt to place, construct, or modify their personal wireless service facilities. All it says is we are indeed in the midst of the process, and the city wants to do their job.
Well, I understand that, but this is a far-fetched analogy, so
okay.
I'm not going to stick you with this. But, you know, criminal appeals happen, and there are final judgments, and people get their sentences and guilt adjudications affirmed. Now, it's always possible that the governor may come along and grant clemency to that person. And so maybe he isn't really finished with the process until he's appealed to the governor for clemency. But we all recognize that that's an entirely discretionary matter. And so, in fact, we say that it's final once the procedure's over. And I think that it's something a little bit like that, that they're saying, sure, you can give a variance, but you don't have to give variances.
No, we don't, Your Honor, but we don't have to give a variance, but it is a process, and it is the job of the local government to do that.
Oh, absolutely, but the question is, at what stage in that process does the word final, as used in the Telecommunications Act, become appropriate? People can always change their minds, they can revoke, they can give discretionary relief, but somewhere along the way we attach the word final, and that's what we have to decide here.
I would offer that it is definitely final once a Sprint applies for a special use permit and a primary plat and it is rejected or approved. Then it's final because there has been a land use decision and the decision has been made with regards to their proposed use. Can they place their antenna on the structure? Can they put their equipment shelter here? Can they put their access road? When that is decided, whether the city rejects or accepts their proposed use, then it's disposed of.
So you
have nothing.
Under your system, though, there is no way for them ever to present before a court the question whether the special use procedure is the appropriate one.
I would say, Your
because
Honor,
because if they get granted the special use,
yes,
then they haven't got any adverse decision that they can appeal, so they're just stuck with the adverse with this extra, potentially extra procedure. So that's just kind of tough luck on their part? Or?
Well, it's the procedure that they can go through and get what they want.
But they can't say this set of procedures is required but not these additional four procedures. They have no way of presenting that in your view.
That is the appellee's position. That is correct. And I also do want to touch upon the waiver issue. The case cited by Sprint, two cases, one is it is a district court case, but it applies Illinois law on this waiver issue. Indiana law is clear, and we briefed it extensively. There is no waiver, and the appellees have conceded we can go forward. You have not waived the right to complain about this special use process later. But let's get through the process. Let's see if you can use this property for what you want. So it hasn't been rejected. It hasn't been accepted. And that's what the city asked for the district court, and that's this court, that we're allowed to do our job. And that is to have public hearings, decide whether the ordinance has been complied with, the comprehensive plan, whether there's negative effects upon the adjacent land. And the city does want to make sure this court knows this facility would be in a developed, established residential area. And there are many other cellular companies in the area, Sprint being one of them. There was heavy remonstrance against Sprint in another case, and the city granted them because they granted them the license, so they could have their antenna where they wanted, because it complied with the ordinance, it complied with the comprehensive plan. It happens to be, and we defended that together.
Well, let me just get back to Williamson County. I want to know why we should extend that beyond the takings context, because we rejected it in an equal protection claim situation. I mean, why should we extend it beyond taking?
Your Honor, I think it preserves exactly what the TCA says it is to preserve, and that is the autonomy of the zoning authority. And the case is so analogous that you have the permit that was revoked in the Sprint case. You have the primary plat that was preliminarily approved, and that approval was rescinded. What in Williamson, the zoning authority said you must go forward to get a variance for us to give you a final decision. And in this case, we're saying please apply for the special use permit. And the court specifically said there's no final action because it's still pending. It has not, as the court said, it has not fully disposed of the matter, and it seems to comply with everything that the TCA, the Telecommunications Act, puts forward. And you can't put the rapid deployment before the rightness argument, and I think they fit very well together. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you very much. Mr. Porterfield, got 2 minutes left.
Your Honors, I just want to address the final question that Justice Williams asked, and that was, why should you extend Williamson County beyond takings claims? And as you properly noted, the Seventh Circuit has refused to do that in equal protection cases and other matters. Counsel suggested that you should extend it because of the autonomy that are granted by the TCA to the municipalities. But as I indicated earlier, that autonomy is not unfettered, and the TCA has a specific limitations here that I don't believe are applicable to a Fifth Amendment takings case. Second, she stated that the facts of Williamson County are very analogous to the facts here in this case. I would just disagree, Your Honor. In the Williamson County case, that dealt with a bank that submitted a preliminary plat for approval to develop a golf course community of 600 lots. I would suggest to you that a commission and a planning ordinance or board have to be very active, involved in determining lot sizes, roads, easements, et cetera. Here, we had a permit for one cell tower or for one cell antenna, and so I believe that it shouldn't be applied across the board. Thank you, Your Honor.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you to both counsel.